Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:17 p.m. that is Pacific Standard Time, and today is March 8th. And it was a big day both in the energy markets and in the bond markets. Today in oil prices, we can see here that West Texas Intermediate was down $2.79. At one point it was down more than that. It was down over $3. And Brent crude is also very marginally off its low, but this is still a clear downward dynamic. When we look at that on the daily chart, it stands out. This is by far the largest move we have seen in quite some time. In fact, this downward dynamic is almost exactly the same size as the upward dynamic we got at the very beginning of December. And it is now breaking that very incremental progression of higher reaction lows within that range. It is the biggest move that we've seen. We cannot simply ignore it. And when we look at the weekly chart, the price is now right in the region of the moving average. It is testing the upper side of the underlying range. If support is going to be found, it is going to be found soon. And in the absence of a clear upper dynamic, we have to give the benefit of the doubt to the downside. Ranges are explosions waiting to happen. That has been an adage at the chart seminar for decades. It is perhaps the most important lesson that we can learn, that there is a psychological conditioning that goes on within the range, and that expectations deteriorate, and yet every range is resolved by a breakout, and very often those breakouts occur in a dynamic fashion which is surprising to market participants. And there were certainly stops hit in here today. Prices in oil have been falling just about all day, and the rally that we've had off the low has been really very modest indeed. It also begs the question, where are we in terms of the big cycle? And when we look at that weekly chart, we can see that there was a crash in 2008. There was an incredibly impressive rebound all the way through till 2011, and a prolonged period where prices ranged above $100. And likewise, we had an emphatic downward break from that range and an additional collapse and a move to new lows. The big question from the context of the bounce from 2016 is, at what point would prices encounter resistance? At what point would we really have a concrete answer to the big question? What is the break-even point for unconventional domestic production in the US? And it is looking increasingly likely that they are more than happy to produce at around that $58 level. We know that that is the case because any arbitrage that existed on the time spread on the futures curve has been arbitraged away. There is practically no spread at all now between delivery for this month or delivery in 2 years' time. So that would suggest that there is no time value any longer, and that the relative risk that an unconventional driller has today of drilling at these levels has been greatly diminished by their hedging activity. And that does represent a considerable challenge to OPEC, where they cut 1 million barrels out of supply, and by any report at least that I've seen, is that their compliance with that cut has been relatively surprising. And yet they have been unsuccessful in pushing prices above $60, because unconventional oil and gas is a game changer for the energy sector. That has been the conclusion we reached as early as 2006 at this service, and we are seeing ample evidence of it right now. What might we expect from oil? I continue to believe that natural gas represents a reasonable template. Natural gas prices have been incredibly volatile, ranging between less than $2 and about $4, and occasionally up to $6 for much of the last decade. And that also followed a crash in 2008, just that natural gas is, because it is a, until recently at least, almost an entirely North American equation, there was not the same rebound in the 2010 and 11 period. And interestingly, natural gas prices have been really quite oversold and were up marginally in here today. But the bigger picture, of course, is that it has been ranging for a very long time. I suspect that that is what we're going to have with oil, and that the trough to peak swing could be in the order of 100%. So what happens in oil tomorrow or in the balance of this week really is important, because if the bulls are going to be vindicated, then the oil price is going to have to bounce and bounce in an emphatic manner from the region of the trend mean, and do so in really quite quickly. If we get another decline similar to what we had today, tomorrow, then that will represent a very significant loss of uptrend consistency, and would be really opening up the door to a failed upside break, and then the very real potential that we could go right down and test the lower side of the underlying range, which, when we look at that daily chart, is not that far above the $40 range. There is certainly no real guarantee that it would hold there. So what happens really is important. And the other market that had a significant move today was US Treasuries. It has now the yield has expanded. It is above the 2.5% level. It has taken out that short-term progression of lower rally highs within the range, and it is demonstrating pretty clear support in the region of 2.3%. If we look at that trend, it's not particularly consistent, particularly over the last number of years. But what we do have is evidence of quite clear support or resistance in terms of the price around that 1.5% level. There have been a number of people that have concluded that the turn in interest rates tends to happen over a prolonged period of time. But what they, I think, often fail to realize is that yields today are pretty much the same as what they were in 2011. That the lows that we saw in 2016 are pretty similar to those that we saw in 2012. In other words, yields have been bottoming already for 4 years. And we could argue perhaps even longer than that, upwards of 5 years. Therefore, we could not be particularly surprised if yields then move up towards the 3% level. The potential for the Fed to raise interest rates has already been priced in. And if you were looking at the US 2-year Treasury yield, and I said that is a technology company that has been through a lengthy base formation, and that it is demonstrating a clear first step above the base completion, then we would be stretched not to conclude that it is a new bull market. But this is 2-year yields. It is a very bullish looking chart. It looks like there is very little to hold yields back, and they are still only at 1.35%. With maturity out to 2 years. And that's not really giving us any price on the potential for interest rates to surprise on the upside at 1.35%. And with the Fed, and this is really a problem for the Fed, because they are like the boy who cried wolf. They have mistakenly estimated that they were going to be raising rates. And they've been much too aggressive in their prognostications for just about every one of the last 7 years. Now they're predicting that they're going to raise rates 3 times this year, and the bond market is in wait and see mode. They are not at a point yet where they are willing to price in additional inflation. They are still conditioned by the length of the bear market, by the fact that we've had quantitative easing for such a long time, and that there was no money to be made in betting on inflation. Yet we know that that employment is improving, that there is the potential that people will be lured out of the lured back into the workforce by higher minimum wages, and also by the reform in childcare and healthcare. So there is ample potential for inflationary pressures to arise once more. but it's unlikely that those inflationary pressures are going to be a factor of energy prices. In fact, it is much more the case that it is declining living standards that have contributed to higher wage growth is going to be the animating factor behind any inflationary pressures that arise. And against that background, the majority of Wall Street was reasonably quiet today. This is another day where the S&P 500 did pretty much nothing. This has been a very shallow reaction so far. There is obviously a short-term overbought condition that it is in the process of being unwound. And we also have to consider that that stocks are about the best hedge against inflation that there is. If we get another, and we are due some form of consolidation because we've had three instances in which the S&P has rallied 100 points following a range, and it has just completed another 100-point rally. So it is due another consolidation. But a sustained move below the trend mean would really be required to even begin to question the medium-term upward bias, despite the short-term potential for some consolidation. And today was also a big day in the UK because we had the budget. And perhaps the most important point is that it was fiscally conservative, that they are really trying to store up their reserves in anticipation of Brexit being or Article 50 being activated towards the end of this month. And but at the same time, the performance of the stock market is going to be much more heavily influenced by the pound than anything else, because the pound generally tends to be the lightning rod for investors to take a view on Brexit. And the most important point is that it remains in what is still a reasonably consistent downtrend. It has been ranging for much of the last 4 or 5 months. That has unwound much of the oversold condition relative to the trend mean. It is coming back towards this psychological 1.2 level against the US dollar. And if it is going to continue to range, it will need to bounce from that area. Perhaps it is more instructive to look at how the pound is reacting relative to the euro. And it has the euro has found support in the region of the trend mean. This really does give us a better indication that the UK is using the currency as a weapon, and it is certainly using the currency as a policy tool to ensure or to preserve the exporting and competitive advantage of the domestic economy. When we look a little bit wider, the pullback in oil prices is probably going to have some effect on energy producers, and the Brazilian market continues to pull back from that 70,000 level. Australia, of course, is also now a major energy exporter as well. So the index, which is really quite heavily weighted by the banking sector, has been quite steady. But when we look at the resources sector, which is mainly the miners, it has had this progression of higher reaction lows, but that is now being pressured. And I should put that on the line chart. So if it is going to find support, it would want to be getting about it, or it is going to be we would have to consider it a larger pullback following a somewhat what has been a very impressive advance. It's a very similar story for the FTSE Mining Index, and that is also testing the lower side of its range. And if what has so far been a reasonably equal sized reaction, but it will have to bounce. So we are rather at a decision point for the commodity sector, and not least because oil prices have been coming back. The continuous commodity index was additionally weaker in here today and is now right back in the region of the trend mean. So if it's going to bounce, this is really about the area. And with the downward pressure that we're getting in the other commodities, Gold was down again in here today and coming back towards this $1,200 area. This is now a larger reaction than we've seen since the beginning of this bounce from December, and it is in the region of the trend mean. We do get, or there is the potential for a somewhat larger pullback and consolidation in this area, but it is going to have to bounce soon if this isn't going to be considered just another failed rally within the context of a downtrend, which has been in evidence since last July. If we look at the other markets that are net energy importers, then the Nifty index is still hovering here below that psychological 90,000 level, but India is a major commodity importer, and lower commodity prices are certainly good news from India's perspective, and not least because of the impact that has on inflation. And the Japanese yen was a little bit weaker in here today as well, and up to 114.32. It is now testing that short-term progression of lower rally highs for the dollar, and really a sustained move above 115 would signal a resumption of dollar dominance. The Nikkei index has been weaker over the last few days, but not in a dynamic fashion. And I think as long as it is trading above that $19,000 point level, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside and the potential for it to break above that psychological 20,000 level. The second section index has continued to move higher, but it was a little bit weaker in here today, and it will need to bounce tomorrow if we're not going to have a somewhat more corrective phase similar to what we had at the beginning of January. But it has been an incredibly impressive advance, and a clear downward dynamic would really be required to check momentum. So we are certainly at an interesting point, and I posted a number of interesting articles today, or at least that I find them interesting. One is on artificial intelligence and how it is facilitating more rapid scientific discovery, and the other is on solar cells, where there is still a question about how quickly the new types of technology that are much more efficient can be commercialized. We don't yet know what that is, but it is really only a question of if, of when, rather than if, that is likely to occur. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.